This is our text for the morning. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Two Sundays ago in the evening, I looked with you at the question, is Jesus the Son of God? And we came to the biblical conclusion that Jesus is, as he claimed, the Son of God. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus, speaking of himself, gives to himself a glorious title that is very often taken for granted. He calls himself not the Son of God, as he is entitled to, but he calls himself the Son of Man. Now, there are many who would receive him as the Son of Man, but who would not receive him as the Son of God. That's why we read together in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. For in the opening of the Gospels, in the opening of the New Testament, in that chapter, we have a tremendous statement concerning the fact that Jesus is not only the Son of God, but that he is, or he became, the Son of Man. If you turn back with me to Matthew chapter 1, you find that in verse 1 he is called the Son of David. And yet you will find in the New Testament and in the book of Psalms, he is not only called the Son of David, but he is called David's Lord. You will find in Matthew chapter 1 that he is called the Son of Abraham. He himself said of Abraham, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. But I want to move down a little, because as we come into the later verses of chapter 1, you find in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. That means he's going to be called the Son of Mary. I have, lots of people have said to me in my preaching experience, you don't believe in the Virgin Mary, do you? And I always answer them the same way. Yes, I do. I believe with absolute emphasis in everything that the Word of God says about the Virgin Mary. I don't believe all that men say, but I believe all that God says. And in Matthew chapter 1, the angel speaking to Joseph says that Jesus is going to be the Son of Mary. Now, why is that important? Because the angel also says, Joseph, he's not your son. He's not the son of Joseph. You know, in the words, the Son of Man, we have the mystery of the Immaculate Conception. Of the fact that for the first time and for the only time, a baby was going to be born in which man played no part. When the angel told this to Mary, she said to the angel, how can this be? Seeing I know not a man. the angel explained to her. The power of the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee and shall overshadow thee, and that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Son of God. So he is the son of Mary, but he is not the son of Joseph. You see, Joseph was told by the angel that Mary, to whom he was espoused, was already pregnant. You can imagine the battle that went on in his mind. And the Word of God tells us the decision that he'd come to, that he was going to put her away privately, to deal with things in a non-public manner. The angel said, no, Joseph, that's not what you're to do. You are to take her to be your wife, because she is conceived immaculately. Conceived by the Holy Ghost. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, there is a beautiful picture in words. And it says this, Mary thy wife, for that which is... Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. What a picture. Had that not taken place, Jesus would never have been able to say in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man is come. The Son of Man has come. And then we find in verse 23 that the angel explains to Joseph that this is the fulfillment of the divine prophecy. This is the fulfillment where God has said, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. What being interpreted is God with us. How many times have you read Luke 19:10 or other verses in the New Testament where Jesus calls himself the Son of Man without realizing that it brings in the Immaculate Conception? It brings in the virgin birth of Christ. It brings in the fact of the incarnation, as the Apostle John says, the Word who is God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. You know, years ago in England, the Bishop of York spoke out around Christmas time, and he said that he didn't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. This is a leader of the church. On the television news late on the Sunday evening, the newscaster very happily announced, we had people outside many churches today, and we asked them two questions. Do you agree with the bishop or not? And with a bright face, they said 70-some% said they agreed with the bishop. They didn't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. And they thought that was some sort of victory. You know, we as humans, we get it into our mind that if we don't believe something, it changes something. Is the Bible changed by what the Bishop of York says? No. Is the Bible changed because 70-some percent of the people happen to agree with him? No. Does the Bible declare that a virgin shall be with child, and that she shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us? Yes. Gloriously, yes. And when we look at Luke 19:10, and Jesus speaking of himself says, "For the Son of Man is come." Let me deal with something else here. We have gone back in history in the United States of America. It used to be that they talked about Judeo-Christian, and then they began to talk about Christian, and now we've gone back to Judeo-Christian. In fact, I was listening to a radio program while I was driving the other day, and there was a man telephoned in to say that he and his wife had enjoyed this tremendous conversion. They had been converted to Judaism. And the commentator was absolutely thrilled to hear that they had found the faith of the Old Testament. And as I was driving in the car, I argue with the radio, you know. My wife tells me they can't hear me, but that doesn't make any difference. I get to express my viewpoint anyway. I was sitting in my car saying things like, "Well, in the grace of God, maybe someday you will come to the faith of the New Testament." You see, the Jews are still waiting for Christ to come. They're still looking for a Messiah. And Jesus says, "The Son of Man is come." You don't need to keep looking. You're wasting your time being converted to Judaism. For Jesus, the Son of Man, the Messiah of Israel, the Jehovah of Sinai, the Son of Man is come. Now, I have to put this in, and I do it every year. Please don't celebrate it on one day only. Celebrate it on 365 days of the year. Because it's the message that the world around us needs to hear. You know what I think sometimes? I think we paint a picture that we Christians are miserable for 364 days of the year. But on the 365th, we've got something to celebrate. What a load of nonsense. Brother Jonathan commented on the tinsel. It's got nothing to do with the tinsel. It's got to do with the Son of Man has come. The Son of Man has come. And he not only tells us the fact, and he not only identifies the person, but he tells us the purpose. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I got to tell you, in my reading of Luke 19, in my preparation, I realized something that I've never realized before. There is not only a statement of the purpose of his coming, there is a tremendous illustration of the purpose of his coming. For if you read the first verses of Luke chapter 19, it's one of my favorite Bible stories. It's the story of Zacchaeus. Even the children know the story of Zacchaeus. You remember the chief among the publicans? A sinner despised? He met Jesus in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. And verse 9 of Luke's Gospel 19 says, this day is salvation come to thy house. You know, that's what the message of the Incarnation is all about. That's what the term the Son of Man has come to seek and to save sinners is all about. Zacchaeus. Oh, I know he fought his way through the crowd and he climbed up into the tree and he was satisfied just with seeing Jesus. And that's a very human desire. But that's not the purpose of Jesus coming. Jesus stopped at the bottom of that tree and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. Can you imagine the religious people of his day, that out of all the good and religious and righteous people, Jesus stops and this sinner is called down into his presence? What's Jesus doing? He's seeking that which was lost. He's seeking a poor, defiled, hell-deserving sinner, and he's saving him. Oh, I love that story. We're going to look this evening at that day when Jesus put out his hand and touched the leper. And I'm always reminded that he did the very same thing when he put out his hand and he saved me. You see, when the Bible talks about Jesus, the Son of Man, coming into the world to seek and to save that which was lost, it's not talking about someone else. It brings the message of the gospel right to my door, right to my heart. The Son of Man is come to save. And I can put my name in there. Joe Gould. That's the glory of the gospel. Jesus was speaking one day and he said, I haven't come to call the righteous. In fact, he tells us, those who are righteous, they won't even hear. They won't even understand what I'm saying. He said, the well don't need a physician. Only those who are sick. I've been suffering from a cold this week. I should have gone to the doctor 3 months ago and said, what'll I do when I get a cold? Give me some medicine now for when I get a cold. When you're well, you don't go to the doctor. It's when you're sick you need a physician. And Jesus said, I can come to make the well better. He said, I came to call sinners. I remember the night I got saved and I understood, maybe for the first time, that I had fulfilled all the prerequisites for Jesus Christ saving me. Everything that I needed, I had. I had a heart that was sinful. And I had a history of sinful behavior. And I had a Savior who left the glory of heaven to come down and to seek and to save that which was lost. When Jesus says in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, my dear friend, if you're in the meeting today and you don't know Jesus Christ, he's speaking directly to you. He says, all those people who are good enough or righteous enough. They don't need me. But if you know that you're a sinner in my presence, you need me. And I'm seeking and I want to save that which is lost. But you know, I realized something else that I'd never seen in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Immediately after, Jesus says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus begins to speak to them about the parable of the pounds, about the man who gives a certain amount of money to some of his servants, and he says, now, when I come back, you're going to give an account. You're going to give an account of what you do with what I've given you. You know, we don't just have an illustration of Jesus coming to seek and to save that which is lost. We have a statement of the fact that that's not always going to be true. Do you ever realize that the first coming of Jesus to Bethlehem guarantees his second coming in glory? That there is a day when he's coming again, and it's going to be a day of accountability. Can you imagine the number of people who will stand in his presence and say, Jesus, I celebrated your birthday every year. Is that going to get them to heaven? Is that going to make them accepted in the presence of God? No, it's not. Jesus will look at you and say, you celebrated my birthday every year on your day, in your way, but you never heard the purpose for which I came. You never acknowledged that you needed me to come. That without me, you're lost. How awful it would be to celebrate the birth of Christ in the year 2000 and still end up missing heaven. Because you would never do what a young sister sung about this morning. What did she sing? Fall on your knees. That's where I got saved, you know. I got saved on my knees. And I didn't know all the theology of it. All I knew was I said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus saved me. That's all it took. And when Jesus comes, not to Bethlehem, but comes to the heir to take home those who are his, I'm going home with him. Why? Because he sought for a sinner like me. And he saved a sinner like me. And the purpose of his coming again is to take saved sinners home to heaven. I love John 17, where Jesus is speaking to his Father. And he says to his Father, Father, I will. It's my desire. This is what I want. I want that those whom you have given me be with me where I am. Father, I don't want just to come back to heaven and be on my own. I want to have all my redeemed people with me. I want them to behold my glory, the glory that I had with thee before the world was. The Son of Man is come. That in itself is a glorious statement. The Son of Man is come to seek. It reminds us of the grace of God. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save. That exemplifies the grace of God. But the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You and I will never fully understand. But I have one question. Are you in the meeting this morning and you don't know Him as your Savior? You see, it's not enough to be able to say, I bowed my head in the meeting this morning and I said, Jesus, you know I'm a sinner. It's not even enough to say, Jesus, I bowed my head and I said, Jesus, you know I'm a sinner, and Jesus, you know that I need a Savior. It's not even good enough to be able to say, Jesus, I bowed my head in the meeting this morning and I said I'm a sinner, and I know that you know I'm a sinner and that I need a Savior. And Jesus, I believe that you're the only Savior there is. That's not good enough. That doesn't work. It only works when you say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. And you're the only Savior there is. And right now, I want you to be my Savior. I want you to come into my life and to forgive my sins, and to bring me into a right relationship with your Father and with yourself, to save me for time, to save me for eternity. I stood the other day in a graveyard, and I lifted my heart to heaven and I said, Father, I thank you for Jesus, for even here He gives hope. He gives hope. Even here He's the only one who gives hope. Will you trust Him today? Will you come to the seeking Savior and say, Jesus, I need you to be my Savior. Jesus, I want you to be my Savior right now. I want you to save me. My, what a Christmas it would be in your heart. And what a Christmas it would be in your home if you were to get saved today. If you were to trust Jesus Christ personally. Let's bow our hearts in prayer together. Our Father, we pray that as we leave this place this morning, that two things would happen. One, that we would realize the majesty and the wonder of the words that Jesus spoke. That the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. that we may realize how gracious you are and how merciful you are. But Father, we ask that as we acknowledge the grace and the mercy that you have shown to us, we ask that sinners may come today to a seeking Savior who holds out his hands in grace and says, "Come unto me."